long as God is filling your blank, you might like Lenny Williams, you might like Luther Vandross, you might like Lionel Richie, Diana Ross, Endless Love, you might like Luther Vandross, A House Is Not a Home, you might like Janet Jackson, The Control, you might even like Tupac, Thug Life. But my favorite song in the entire planet, James Stephen, the Gospel Music Workshop of America, God Is. Whatever you need him to be in the spirit, that's what he'll be for you. Somebody has needed him to be a mother. Somebody has needed him to be a father. Somebody has needed him to be a brother or sister. Somebody has needed him to be a co-worker. Somebody has needed him to be a deliverer and a healer. Somebody has needed him to be a mind regulator. Somebody has needed him to put a little money on the light bill. Whatever you need him to be, he will be that for you. That song eclipses everything else, because it encompasses all of God and God's love. Amen. Amen. Mark 15:20. Mark 15:20. Come on back now. And when they had mocked him, took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they had mocked him. They took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. On this first Sunday in August, as we celebrate Kanye, come as you are for the entire month of August, I want to begin by talking from the subject in his own clothes. Let me first give honor and recognition and a footnote to the late Reverend Dr. Gardner C. Taylor, the Dean of All Black Preachers, for this sermon title, In His Own Clothes. For all of my theologians who might find this on YouTube who are claiming I'm stealing another man's subject and title, a historian and trained historian, I know to give a footnote. Use somebody else's material. And this is a God book. This ain't his sermon, but I have to use his title, In His Own Clothes, because the scripture will not allow me to use any other title. And so this is your prayer. And every now and then, if you feel the spirit, a little amen. 2 months ago, local, well, really a national artist, was at a local church here in Columbia. I had been following this local church on Facebook and find out that that national artist was going to be in town. And I set my calendar to go and visit the church to see this national recording artist that I have a fondness for. The concert began at 7 o'clock p.m. I knew that it was going to be very crowded, so I tried to get there by 6:45. And when I got there at 6:45, there were cars already up and down the street. And it took me about 20 minutes just to find a park. When I got into the church, I was greeted by members of that church, and most of them were youthful and t-shirts with the name of the church and girls. But everybody had a smile on their face. And everybody was happy to greet you and to welcome you into their church. But I realized, Erica, I had made a fundamental error. I went to this concert at this church in a three-piece suit and a bow tie, like I was going to see the Jackson Southerniers or the Six Voices of Zion, Keller Myers and the Five Singing Stars. I realized that I was overdressed. They had taken all the chairs out of their sanctuary and they were standing room early because I had entered into about 7:05, 7:10. I was strategically placed by a back door. The concert had begun with that local church's praise team. And there I was again in my three-piece suit and bow tie. Nobody said, Reverend Levy, come right this way. Nobody said, Pastor, come to the pulpit. Nobody knew my name. I didn't know nobody else's name, but I wasn't really there for anybody else's name, so it was cool with me. But I will tell you, and have to be honest with you, when this praise team began to sing their songs, they sang about 10 of them, I ain't no nah word. I had never heard any of the songs that they were singing. But God did a blessing for me. He strategically placed next to me, not by accident, but by providence, a local organist that I am friends with and talk with a lot. And he became my tour guide, because the whole time I had to ask him questions. Because I was amazed by how these young people knew every song, every lyric, how when the acoustics of the song went up, the lights began to flash, and I found my head on a swivel trying to figure out where I was. And I said, man, how do these young people know every lyric and every song? I ain't never heard none of these songs in all my life. And he told me what radio station the young people now listen to. And I don't listen to the radio anymore. I don't even listen to 95.3. And you can tell Alex I said that I don't listen to 95.3 anymore. But for me, 95.3 has just become too contemporary. See, I like the Mississippi Mass Choir. I like the Florida Mass Choir. I like the Chicago Mass Choir. I like James Cleveland and the Southern Community Concert Choir. I like Thomas Becton and Friends. I like Milton Brunson and the Tommies. I like Kirk Franklin when he had a family. I don't like the new Kirk Franklin, but I like Kirk Franklin and the family. If you don't have more than 9 members or an in your group's name, you ain't for me. I'm old school. That's just me. And so because I didn't know no words, no lyrics, and didn't understand how the praises go up and how the everything they were doing, and they were bouncing off the wall in ecstasy, I went into judgment. And I put up a spiritual wall. And I found myself telling myself, this ain't church. And then the national artist came up. She began to sing songs that I recognized and I heard. And because she does a different genre of music, and does a lot of different genres rather of music, because your pastor's so old school, my favorite genre of gospel music is spiritual. Do you know how old school that is? Yeah, spirituals. I like Swing Low. I like the Ziggy on the Wheel in the Middle of the Wheel. I like that type of stuff. I like work music. That's just my thing. You know, I'm so old school that I still would want us to have robes and me and Ron to march down the aisle two-step with y'all in. Well, I am. Sit on down. We ain't doing that.
But sometimes you can put up a fence and build your own Trump wall and not allow yourself to worship because you don't like that type of worship experience. But when she sang a quartet hymn, I took off my jacket, took off my bow tie. Now, I ain't wrapped my jacket around my waist, but I wrapped it around a belt loop. Ain't nobody gonna say, ain't nobody gonna raise no questions. Ain't no man need to have nothing wrapped around his waist. Back to the Holy Ghost. So I tucked my jacket around my belt buckle, and I got in the spirit. And there was a shift in the atmosphere for me. I was able to worship the Lord, but I also had to repent and ask God for forgiveness for judging people who were not worshiping the way I like to worship. After services, I saw one of my colleagues in the ministry who has become now a dear friend, and I wanted to speak to him, and don't laugh, but this is just the truth. This is really serious. They were in the VIP section. I was in the general population. I tried to go to the VIP section. Security guard stopped me. God bless their hearts. I know things have changed, but one thing ain't been, I'm not throwing no shade, because they gonna, I'm going to send this video to my friends, but we ain't never going to have Charles no earpieces in our ears. That's just not my style, that the angels can't handle it. But, and so he stopped me. And I just come from one of those old school mentalities that when you come to another man's house, you pay respect to the pastor just by saying hello. And so I said, I'm Chris Levy. I don't use no titles. I'm Chris Levy. I'm the pastor of Brooklyn Road Bishop. I'd like to speak to so-and-so. He said, oh, come right this way. So I spoke to my friend. I said, I've never met the pastor. Will you introduce him to me? And I held up my hand and said, hi, I'm Chris Levy. I'm the pastor of Northeast. And this brother gave me the biggest bear hug ever and said, man, I've heard a lot about you. And I said, man, let's do lunch. He said, I will look forward to it. And he and I have either talked by phone or on text every week since that concert. If I had allowed myself to stay in judgment and not free myself from what I think worship is and how you're supposed to worship and how you're supposed to look and how you're supposed to dress, I never would have made a friend. And we're all in the same business. And I told these brothers, you know, each one of us has our own congregation. Each one of us have our own ministry. Each one of us have our own set of issues. As Paul taught the Ephesians, he taught differently to the Corinthians. He taught to the Corinthians, he had to talk different to the Galatians. So each one of us have our own group that we have to minister and our own spiritual culture that we have to minister to. And it ain't no competition either. We're all about kingdom building and getting people to heaven. And every now and then, we judge people. We judge worship. We judge music. And say, this ain't real Christianity. Do you know that Mahalia Jackson was radical for her time? Do you know that people call Mahalia Jackson a heretic because she didn't sing six verses to a pipe organ? And we have to be very careful. It might not be your genre. It might not be your thing. But what we have to do is pray that they come for authentic worship and that a word is going forth. For there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's it. To believe in God that Jesus raised, that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Nothing else. No form, no formality. Just believe that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. But let's be honest with ourselves. I ain't the only one. You ain't going to admit it because you ain't got the mic. But I'm not the only one who has stood in judgment about how others are dressed, how they come to church, how they worship, and how they dress. And we do, unfortunately, the same thing to others as these centurions did to Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. On that fretful Thursday, after he was arrested, the centurion soldiers took our Savior. And they had heard that he was about to be charged with treason and sedition. The Bible says that they mocked him and whipped him all night long. Deacon Leon, they put a purple robe on him to mock him as a king. Because they heard that he was claiming to be a king, but there was no king but Herod. Tiberius was the emperor of Rome, but Herod was the king of Judea, and there wasn't but one king at one time. And some people were claiming that he claimed that he was king of the Jews. And because he was claiming to be king of the Jews, the centurions who mocked him said, "You don't look like a king. You don't fit the part of a king. So what we're going to do is take your own clothes off you. We're going to take off your humanity, and we're going to make you look like what we think a king is supposed to look like." See, they thought it was on the outside, but everybody should know by now it ain't what you wear and how you look on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. And I had to be delivered. I called one of my spiritual guides, one of my prophets, one of my evangelists to repent and to ask some questions, because I knew I was in judgment. I knew I needed to repent. And I did not understand what I had just saw. And my mind was saying, was I really at a club? Was I at a party? And she reminded me, and I ain't going to call her name, but she the one running for state treasurer, used to be the minister of music here, but I ain't going to call her name. And she reminded me, "Ron, didn't you leave your church to come to Brooklyn because the music was better? And because it was a different spiritual atmosphere?" And so that might be what's going on today. And I'm still here at Brooklyn. And by the grace of God, I'm a pastor at Brooklyn, because I had to lead the church of my ring that sang six anthems a day in that black book where your hands go up in the, this is a black church too, your hands go up in the book and your nose pressed to the eye. I couldn't find God there. And we have to hope that no matter the culture, no matter the worship style, no matter the music, that somebody can find God. And that's what it's all about. And we mock people and we judge people because they don't do it our way. And so they put on a purple robe on him. They put a reed in his hand so he could look like he had power. And then they plaited thorns on his head to make him a crown. And they mocked him and said, "Now you look like a king." Again, it ain't how you look on the outside. It's your love and your spirit that's on the outside. You can wear a choir robe, but that don't make you holy. You can wear a black suit and a black tie, sit in the deacon section, but that don't make you holy. You can play the organ. I know this boy got the oil all on him, so I can't even use him as an example. But you can sit where me and Ron said that. We know just because you're a pastor or a preacher, that don't make you all the way holy. It ain't what's on the outside. It's what's going on your inside. And so they mocked him for the clothes that he had on. They mocked him because of what he appeared to look like. But when he died, anybody know he died? The Bible says that they took him. After they took him, Deacon Moore, out of the Praetorium Guard, they handed him over to Pilate. And after he was judged by his own peers, the Bible says that they took off the purple. They took the reed out of his hand. That thorn was still left on his brow because he really was a king. And anybody know one day he's going to be crowned again, but it won't be with a thorn of crowns. It's going to be a diadem. It's going to be a real crown. And they said that the Bible says that even though they mocked him in somebody else's clothes, that when he died, I feel my Baptist coming on now. When he died in his own clothes. He died in his humanity to look like your humanity. He died in rags because many of us are still filthy rags. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we still filthy rags in the image of God. But one of these days, I said, one of these days, we gonna see him again in his glory. We gonna see him not in that faded purple cloak, as Dr. Taylor said. We're going to see him in the image of his likeness and in the likeness of his image. And I don't know about these preachers who be telling y'all, if you want to see mama again, you want to see daddy again, if you want to see your child again, you got to live right and join the church. I don't know how you ain't going to see each other, because we ain't going to look like each other. And we ain't going to look like how we look right now, because flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Only your spirit can enter the kingdom of heaven. I know I ain't going to look like this when I get to heaven. I'm going to be 6'4". Bronze color. I ain't going to look. You ain't going to be able to look. Don't look down. Look up. For me. Because all this robe of flesh has got to die. Your mortality has got to take on immortality if you want to see Jesus. And so we just share this month, just this month. I'm going to be back in my robe in September. But just this month, just come as you are. Just come to worship God as you are. No form, no fashion. Don't worry about nobody looking at you, no matter if you add up to any code, because it ain't about the tradition. It's about the kingdom. All about getting people to come to the kingdom of God. And we don't want to block nobody's blessings or block nobody coming to church because of how you look at them and how you judge them. Let me tell you this story and I'm out your way. I might have told it when I was back at Ridgeview about this woman who was the last woman bouteille to get on the plane. This woman came about 6'2", but she had on a full mink coat. Real Chanel purse, not the one you bought off the street in New York, but a real Chanel purse. Gucci sunglasses, Chanel perfume. She was the last woman and the last really person to get on the plane. And she sashayed her way all the way back to 35F. And the smell of Chanel filled the entire atmosphere. And she sashayed her way in her 4-inch heels. I ain't going to sashay for you. I might two-step, but I ain't sashaying. All the way back to 35F. By the bathroom. Well, she was seated by two brothers from Detroit. And these two brothers from Detroit helped her put her Louis Vuitton luggage up in the over bin. And after they sat down and she got herself settled and took off her mink coat, one of the brothers, Boutet, might have been you, looked at her and said, "The way you look, you ought to be sitting in first class." And that woman looked at them two brothers and says, "First class is not where I sit. First class is who I am." And if anybody here knows Jesus, you might not sit in first class. But if you know my Savior, you're going to fly one day in first class. Matter of fact, you're going to be on a ship. And it's called the old ship of Zion. And King Jesus is my captain. And I heard that it's landed. Many a thousand. Can I get a witness up in here? You might never get to find first class. If you die in his name, there's an old ship of Zion. And it has landed. Anybody know it landed? It has landed. Many a thousand. And I can't wait to get on that ship. But King Jesus is there listening. King Jesus is there waiting. And it ain't gonna matter what I'm wearing. It ain't gonna matter what I got on. It don't matter my name, friends, out here. All the things don't matter is his name. And that's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. Anybody know that name? Anybody know that name? It ain't about Gucci. It ain't about Prada. It ain't about Louis Vuitton. It's about the name of Jesus. Can I hear you say Jesus? Can I hear you say Jesus? Can I hear you say Jesus?